Leaders meeting with the people of Qom on the anniversary of the 1978 Qom uprising. On Monday, 9th of January 2023, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with the people of Qom province at the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya in Tehran. The meeting took place on the anniversary of the historic uprising of January 1978 by the people of Qom against the oppressive Pahlavi regime. In this program, we discuss the leader's speech and points of views expressed at this meeting. Please stay with us. On Monday, 9th of January 2023, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with the people of Qom. The meeting took place on the anniversary of the historic 9th of January 1978 uprising of the people of Qom against the Pahlavi regime. An uprising which started the non-stop movement of the Iranian people against the Shah's regime. What started the uprising was the publication of an insulting article in the Etelaat newspaper, an article published at the behest of the Shah himself, which insulted the founder of the Islamic Republic, the late Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul. The people of Qom, from all backgrounds and from all walks of life, took to the streets and demonstrated against the Shah's regime. Clashes between the repressive security forces of the Pahlavi regime and the people of Qom resulted in some demonstrators being either injured or martyred. The uprising of 9th of January 1978 was quelled, but a bigger uprising, a revolution in fact, was about to start. Soon, people in towns and cities throughout the length and breadth of Iran marched and protested against the Shah's regime. And within months, the Pahlavi regime collapsed and the Islamic Revolution had triumphed. Commenting on why it is important to commemorate the Qom uprising, the leader said, "Commemoration of the 19th of day or 9th of January is repeated every year, and that is how it should be. This needs to continue. In the future, this ray of light must continue to shine every year." But why? Because this tragedy was a major transformative event. It was an extraordinary event. It is everyone's duty to keep such transformative historic events alive. Such historic events are either an invaluable experience or they show us a divine tradition. Many examples of this are given in the Holy Quran. Thus, they are worthy of attention and they need to be kept alive. Ayatollah Khamenei added, "Why do we say that the tragedy that took place on the 19th of day, 1978 in Qom was a transformative historic event? Because it was the beginning of a large jihad. A large countrywide jihad was sparked in Qom. Its aim was to save Iran from being devoured by the West. It was to save Iran from being crushed by the distorted, incorrect Western culture and to free Iran from the political and military dominance of the West. It was to make Iran independent and to revive the country's historic identity. Iran's historic identity is an Islamic identity, an Islamic Iran. From the beginning of the rise of Islam and up until today, which other nation do you know of that has served Islam as much as the Iranians have in various sciences, in philosophy, in jurisprudence, and in other sciences?" The book by Martyr Murtaza Mutahhari, titled Mutual Services of Islam and Iran, states this quite clearly. Iran's Islamic identity had been lost. If anyone were to walk in the streets of Tehran, and not just in Tehran but in many other Iranian cities too, they wouldn't have felt they were in an Islamic country or that Muslims were living here. That was how they had made it. The jihad that had begun, which was started in Qom, was to save Iran from the state that it was in. The goal was to return Iran to its original, real, historic, proud identity. Of course, those who were involved in that event on that day may not have realized the importance of what they were doing. They felt a sense of duty, which I will talk about, and they took action. Perhaps they didn't notice, or at least not all of them realized what they were going to accomplish. They did not know about the great movement they were creating. They did not realize this, but when we talk about historic issues or events, we must describe them while taking into account the things that happened before and after that event. What caused that event in Qom and what was the outcome of it? This is what shows the importance and value of this event. This tragedy was a truly significant event. It must be kept alive. Its memory should not be erased from history or lose its importance. Of course, the movement of falsehood, the enemies of the Islamic Revolution, always tried to conceal the days of God, Ayyamullah, or to portray them as unimportant. The strategy the enemies use is try to prevent these days from being remembered and from shining in history. Such days are often hidden or denied by the enemies. They even go so far as to deny that these events actually happened. The 22nd of Bahman, or 11th of February, the anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution, the 13th of Aban, or 4th of November, the capture of the Den of Espionage, the US Embassy in Tehran, the 19th of Day, or 9th of January, uprising of the people of Qom, the 9th of Day, or 30th of December, tens of millions of people marching in Iran, 29th of Bahman, or 18th of February, the tragedy in Tabriz, and the funeral processions of Martyr Soleimani and Martyr Hujaji were all examples of days of God. The enemies don't want these days to be remembered at all. Ayatollah Khamenei added, "According to the enemies, each one of these events is like a torch that must be extinguished. The enemies that are against you, against this nation, and against the Islamic Revolution cannot tolerate these tortures. They want to extinguish them. This is exactly the opposite of what is stated in the Holy Quran. The Quran commands us to remember and mention these events. And mention Mary in the book, when she withdrew from her family to an easterly place. What happened for Mary, mother of Jesus, must not be forgotten. This should go down in history. And mention Ibrahim in the book. And mention Moses in the book. And remember our servant Job, as mentioned in the Holy Quran. And remember our servant David, a man of strength. And mention Hud, the brother of Ad, when he warned his people at Ahqaf. Perhaps there are 10 or more examples like this in the Holy Quran about remembering and mentioning these individuals." The leader added, "The Holy Quran says, and in some places where they were concealing matters, God's prophet was assigned the job of getting them to talk. Ask them about the town that was situated on the seaside. Are you concealing what happened on the day of the Sabbath? Ask them about the case when you wanted to deceive God, where you wanted to cheat God, and the Almighty God turned you into monkeys and pigs. You want us to forget this and not know about this. Ask them about the town that was situated on the seaside. This is the logic used by the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran says, if you try to act cunningly and use tricks in dealing with God, then Allah is the best of planners. The Almighty God plans better than you do. Indeed, they, the unbelievers, are devising a stratagem, and I too am devising a plan. Very well, now that you have entered into God's territory, God is the master of the kingdom. This is an experience that took place in the historical life of humankind. As a person living in this period in time, I must understand this. I must learn from what happened to the companions of the Sabbath and what they did. And I should not do what they did again, or I will receive a similar response as mentioned in this divine tradition in the Holy Quran. Elsewhere in his remarks, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, "There are some points about the Qom uprising which teach us lessons. Although the world has moved on and we are living in a very different world today than in 1978-1979, we need to make use of the experiences of those days. These lessons and experiences never get old and they're always valuable." The first point is their speed of action. The speed of action of the people of Qom in feeling a sense of duty when they saw what was happening is admirable. They immediately knew what they needed to do. They took to the streets. The shopkeepers came, the businessmen came, the seminary students came, the scholars came. Some scholars from the seminaries came and ordinary people took to the streets of Qom. They immediately felt they had a duty, and that is the first point. The second point is that they accepted great risks for their actions. They knew and recognized these risks. They accepted them. It is obvious that when you have a regime like the Pahlavi regime, with all their oppression, coming out onto the streets is very dangerous. The people of Qom were very well aware of the dangers, but they accepted them nonetheless. They accepted the dangers and they took action. This is the second point. After all, you cannot accomplish great things without taking risks. The third point is that they took action at the right time. I have mentioned this many times before when addressing various groups. Timely action is what is needed. The Tawwabin sought to take revenge for the murder and martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. They fought and were all killed. All of them were killed, but no one in history has praised them. But why is this? Because it took them too long to take action. If you wanted to sacrifice your life for the cause of Imam Hussein, why didn't you come forward on the first or second day of Muharram in the desert of Karbala so that you could have done something at least? Instead, you stood by and watched. Then after Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, had been martyred, you felt sorry for him and decided to come to the battlefield. This is what happens when you fail to do something at the right time. You need to take timely action, and this is very important. Elsewhere in his remarks, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei added, "In 1964, 14 years before the 19th of Day tragedy, and 15 years before the victory of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini was exiled from Qom. Why did they send Imam Khomeini into exile? Because Imam had made a keynote speech. What did Imam Khomeini say in his speech? He had spoken against capitulation, which gave legal immunity to the Americans from being prosecuted in Iran's courts of law. He had attacked the United States. What Imam Khomeini stated in that speech, this is the essence of his statement, was that if an Iranian accidentally ran over an American dog in the streets of Iran, he would be prosecuted in the courts of law. But if an American had run over an Iranian, no one has the right to prosecute him. This is what capitulation actually means." So in effect, by rising up against the Pahlavi regime, the Iranian people had risen up against the United States and its allies. America was the main backer of the Pahlavi regime. And to rise up against the Shah's regime was in effect rising up against the United States and its hegemony. Elsewhere in his remarks, the leader said, "I would like to speak about the recent riots and events in Iran. The involvement of foreign enemies in the recent riots was clearly evident, though some have denied this. As soon as we say foreign enemies, they tend to quickly deny this in order to knock down a faction, or a person, or a group, or an administration. They say, no, it is your fault, but no, it was clear and obvious that the foreigners had a hand in these recent events. The efforts made by the Americans, the Europeans, and the different European countries, each one of them interfered in Iran's internal affairs one way or another. And they interfered openly, not secretly. It was apparent who was involved in this case. That is what happened in these recent riots. We cannot just ignore these things. The most important part of their work was propaganda. The most important part of the enemy's endeavor was their propaganda. I seek protection from the evil of the slinking whisperer, who whispers temptations into the hearts of people, from among the jinn and the people. Temptation don't just come from the jinn. Human beings also whisper temptations. You have seen how it is in the social media and also the foreign, Western, Arabic and Hebrew media and other sources like these. So the most important tool that was used here was Western propaganda against Islamic Iran. Some people wanted it to appear this way, and this is how the foreigners made it appear in their propaganda, that in these riots, where a number of people came out, yelled things in the streets, used foul language, broke windows, set trash bins on fire, and things of that sort. They said people were objecting to the weaknesses in management, weaknesses in the economy, and weakness in the way this country is run. But I'm telling you, it was the exact opposite. Those who rioted on the streets of Iranian cities and towns had no intention of overcoming the country's weaknesses. In fact, they sought to destroy Islamic Iran's strengths. They wanted to destroy our strengths and our security. Security is one of the country's main strengths. And there is the matter of scientific education. We always take pride in the scientific progress that we have made in the Islamic Republic. Well, where are the sciences studied? They're studied in educational centers, in universities, in research institutes. The enemies had targeted these centers so they can shut them down. And they can stop the study of science. They don't want us to progress, to make progress in science and technology. The first issue is about jihad of clarification, which I have repeated over and over again, and I will repeat it again. The enemy's main plan is to use false publicity or propaganda, as they call it. The way to overcome propaganda is through clarification. Clarifying the truth must be done by different people with different voices, with different interpretations, and in new forms. This is clarification. What can remove the temptations that affect the youth or a teenager? Police batons cannot remove them. Clarification can remove these temptations. In final remarks, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, wished everyone present success in carrying out their duties. The leader said, "We have individuals in our universities, in many of our seminaries across the country, and among the different classes in society who are capable of doing innovative, creative, and transformative work. I hope that all of you succeed in all of your duties, and may God bless Islamic Iran."